Well, good morning, everybody, and Happy New Year. Our family started off the new year just right. Our first meal was at Fatburger. Wasn't planned. There it was. We stopped and, well, yeah, now we're on a diet. But that's just it. We want to start the new year off right. And many of us, you know, we want to exercise, we want to have better relationships, we want to, you know, go to church more. We have this major checklist. But overall, I want to talk about, do you have a rhythm of being and not just doing? A rhythm in your day, a rhythm in your week. You know, I was counseling a couple many years ago, and I have permission to share this story, and they lost their connection with each other. You know how it goes. Life happens. You know, kids were added to the mix. He worked too much. She was striving so hard for good grades, and they got out of sync. Their relationship started to break down over time. And it starts to take a toll on the marriage. And as I was counseling them, I started to dig a little bit deeper. Both of them were seeking validation in the wrong things. You know, he was trying to move up the ranks at work. And so he's putting in extra hours, doing all these things so that he could get the title, so that he could get the bigger salary. She, on top of taking care of the kids, was trying to get straight A's. And in the midst of it, they were not keeping the main thing the main thing. They started to grow apart. They started to sleep in separate beds. And I remember her saying, I just want to feel loved. So I asked them, why don't you go back to the beginning? That rhythm of when you started to connect, when you started to fall in love, and things started to click. Do that again and see what happens. Well, just like this couple, we sometimes get out of sync with these life-giving patterns that God's given us. Our rhythms can be more desperate than intentional, more frantic than planned, more entertainment-driven than soul-satisfying, more self-seeking than life-giving. And then we wonder why we can't connect with God. And sometimes we seek validation in all the wrong things, you know, in our careers, or we're laboring to perform to impress people, or to get into a friend group, or to do better than the other person, and then we keep going and going and doing and doing, and at the end of it all, we feel empty. Because we're busy and laboring for all the wrong reasons. And then we become overwhelmed. And we forget to take our disappointments and our struggles and our discouragements to God. Because we're so weary laboring over and over again. Because busyness can cover up the hardened state of our relationship with God. And these are just some of the reasons we get out of sync with our rhythm of coming to Jesus. Well, today I want to show you how we can experience this life-giving rhythm of being validated by Jesus and finding rest in Him. This happens when we position our lives for renewal in the rhythm of labor, in the rhythm of rest, and in the rhythm of intimacy. So first, Jesus shows us how to position our lives for renewal in the rhythm of labor. Look with me at the text, Matthew 11:28. It says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." Now, I've memorized this verse, so I actually went back to the NIV, which says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." So first, when we are weary, we need to stop laboring to find Christ. When we're weary, when we're trying and trying, we need to stop and come to Christ. Now, the Greek word for weary means it's the state of being tired or troubled. When we're at the end and we want to give up, it describes a person who is trying to do everything on their own. It's exactly what's happening in this passage. The Pharisees are criticizing Jesus because he's telling people to stop doing it on their own strength. And they're like, no, follow the rules, A, B, C, D, to God. Jesus is like, no, just simply come to me. Stop exhausting all of your own resources and come through me. It's this invitation to trust Jesus because he provides rest for your soul. And when we try to do it on our own, we don't find rest. So who's to come? It's those who are overburdened by doing too much. It's those who are seeking fleshly pleasure to find meaning. It's those who are full of guilt and regret. It's those who are seeking life of achievement by trying to get more and more money and material possessions. It's those who are heavy with loneliness, those who are weary from personal and family problems, right? It's those who are trying to find meaning through religious works, you know, serving and doing things, but not actually coming to Jesus to find rest. And it's the state of our culture. We're burdened. We're doing. And I hear statements like, I'm busy, I'm tired, I need a holiday, or I just have to get to the next thing. Well, this passage is saying finding Jesus is the first beat in a new rhythm. You know, you can tell a good song pretty quickly by the rhythm. I remember many times I'm listening to a playlist that I didn't put together, and I'm in the vehicle, and I'm like, in 2 seconds, nope. And then Megan's getting frustrated. Why are you doing that? I can tell. Bad song. Just like us, you can tell in the first couple beats of our rhythm whether we're going to be able to have a life-giving rhythm with God. You know, when we start adding all the wrong things, it starts to mess up that amazing rhythm that God wants us to have. Just like in songs, when the beat is just not working, or you add harmonies and they're not in sync and there's no breaks, it's not a life-giving song. And most likely it's country music. Sorry, had to. But ultimately, this passage is about you trying to find a good rhythm without going to Christ. It's you doing, pushing Christ away because you're so busy. As a father, it breaks my heart when I know that my kids are going through something difficult. I can sense it, I can see it, but they don't come to me. And as the day goes on, you can see them starting to fall apart emotionally. They're struggling to get it out what it is. And then as a parent, I find different ways of trying to go and figure out and pull out, oh, you were bullied today at school? Or your friend was made fun of? Let's talk that through. Come to me. I want to support you in that. I want to walk you through it. I love you. And when they do that on their own, they just worry and worry. When we're weary, we need to stop laboring to come to Christ. But next, we continue working and laboring because of our self-reliance. Look again with me at Matthew 11, 28. Just simply this. It says, come to me. Well, why don't we come to Christ? It's because we don't think we need to. It could be because of our pride. No. I got this. I can do it on my own. But when we don't regularly come and rest with Jesus, we're saying that we know better than God. We're saying that we can do it on our own strength. And we're living a life where we're saying we don't need him. And when we do that, we try to do it all, right? The type A. I got this. No. I can fix this. I can do this. Or we have to have it all. We're laboring and laboring so that we can have more and more and more, and Christ is pushed to the side. Or we try to be all things to all people. Or we try to just simply please everyone in our own strength. But this is the opposite of what Jesus is trying to teach us. I spent many summers working at camp, and one of these camps was a Young Life camp called Rockridge. And my assignment was the head counselor along with another lady. And as a head counselor, you're kind of in charge of everything that's going on, and you have the luxury of dealing with all the problems that are going on. And so if kids sneak out at night, you're the last one in bed with the flashlight. Come on, guys, get in. Or you're the first one up, making sure that counselors are doing their devotionals, making sure that everything's kind of taken care of. Every week, they did this thing called pizza night. And it was the first thing that happened when campers arrived so that they could sit around and talk in their cabin and enjoy a meal together and enjoy life. But this happened at like midnight. Remember, last one to bed, first one up. So I was getting about 4 hours of sleep a night for weeks. I actually started to drink coffee for the first time. So one of the jobs was getting the pizza on time to all the cabins. And so they gave us this ATV. And it had this cargo dock. And we would load it with these individual sized pizzas. And we're talking hundreds of pizzas. And so we would overload it. And, well, I was driving. And the other head counselor was on the back trying to hold it all together. And I was in a hurry. And I hit a bump. And all the pizzas flew off with her onto the ground. So there she was, laughing and crying at the same time. But you know, it was my pride that caused that. It was my self-reliance. I wanted to do it quickly. I wanted to get it done so that, well, we could move on to the next thing. Just like many of us, we are overloaded with tasks because of our pride. We just take on more and more so that we can achieve, so that we can do better. And we don't stop to rest with Christ. So as we've seen, we are laboring, becoming weary, and we need to stop and rest with Jesus. Well, next, Jesus shows us how to position our lives for renewal through the rhythm of rest. Look with me at Matthew 11:28, which says, Again, I'm going to read the whole thing. Come to me, all who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So what does the word rest mean in the Greek? It's not just a Sunday afternoon nap. All right, who's looking forward to that? It's the I rest you. Jesus is saying that he will rest you. He will give you relief from toil. He will refresh you. He will revive you when you spend time with him. It's his invitation to be revived spiritually. He's offering you this gift. It's his gift of being refreshed, and it pours into you. And then when you rest with Christ, you then can pour into others emotionally and spiritually. When you rest with Jesus, your burdens feel a little lighter because he supports you in the task. This rest is offered to everyone that goes to Jesus. It's related to our peace, our security, and our well-being. But I mean, it sounds so simple, does it not? But yet, going to Christ seems to be the last thing on our list at times. It's the thing that's crowded out. It's the thing that, well, if I get to it. But ultimately, this well-being starts by finding Christ, who gives us this gift. It starts with knowing him, knowing that you're deeply loved. And when we try to achieve and we try to get validation from other things, we don't soak in his love. He's inviting us into this ongoing relationship that will continue. It's the first beat in the rhythm of rest. So I want to show you that there's a connection between going to Christ and all the way through the Bible, the Sabbath. The day of rest. It's that one day in the week where you stop and you enjoy God and you commune with him. So we need to see that God modeled this pattern of rest for us. It's right in the beginning we see this rhythm of work and rest modeled by God. God created the world in how many days? 6 days. And then rested on the seventh. He designed the world to operate in rhythms that included rest for renewal. To quote A.J. Swoboda, he says this, "There is a rhythm to the days of the creation story. There is a rhythm to God's response to creation. God said it was good. There are seasons. There is the coming and going of the ocean's waves. The leaves turn. They are creations of a brilliant God. Obeying and implementing God's rhythms of rest for our lives brings life not only to our spirits, but also to our minds, bodies, and emotions." So divert for a second. Why did God rest? Was he tired from creating? Did he need a break? No, God rests because he gives us a good model for life. He stopped to enjoy his creation. You can't enjoy something until you stop and commune with it and experience it. When we see God resting in creation, we don't see someone who's exhausted from creating the universe. No, we see a God who is resting so that we would see the value of resting with him. He rests. He wants us to enjoy rest with him. So as you keep reading, God implements that into the rest of the narrative of the Bible. It was so important that he included it in the Ten Commandments. He said, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." The book of Hebrews says, "Make every effort to rest." And then also in the New Testament, you see Jesus practicing the Sabbath. And then also his close followers are stopping to commune and pray and be with God. Because this pattern of rest is built into the DNA of creation. It's so that we would flourish. It's so that we would enjoy God. And someone said this, Sabbath and the gospel scream the same thing. We do not work to get a place where we finally get to breathe and rest. That is slavery. Rather, we rest and breathe and enjoy God that we might enter into his rest. The message is Yahweh not only rests, but he invites you to rest with him. Isn't that good news? The Sabbath is about stopping, connecting, enjoying, and feasting. Just as in the rhythm of a good song, there's parts where it stops, where there's silence, and then the beat comes back in. God modeled a pattern of rest right from the beginning so that we would enjoy him. Next, we need to see what resting is not. Notice that resting is just not working, where we stop everything, where we retire, you know, we hang up our jacket, we're done, we're resting. No. The fact that we are able to work and serve and give back to God is part of the rhythm in which God has called us to, where we work and then rest. We work and labor and do hard things for God, and then we rest. But rest is not truly possible without work. And work that is not done appropriately without rest is also not what God wants for us. I'm going to run through this quickly because of time, but the Sabbath, again, is not about the rules. If we keep reading into chapter 12, the Pharisees, again, are challenging Jesus. You know, why are you stopping to work and to gather grain to eat? And Jesus points out, no, the Sabbath is not about the rules. It's about communing with me. Again, the Sabbath is not about a particular day. And Paul, again, deals with this in Romans 14. And you can read it for yourself, where one person esteems one day as better than the other. No, it's not about the day. The underlying principle is that we're called to be more faithful to Jesus than to be worried about the rules of the Sabbath. But I think this is the biggest problem, is the Sabbath is not about individualism. I would suggest that our Western culture doesn't err on the side of being too rigid about practicing the Sabbath, but I think we err on the side of, well, doing only the things that, well, serve me. A.J. Sabota says this, rather than rest God's way, we have replaced Sabbath with a kind of therapeutic individualism that seeks to self-entertain, self-please, and self-soothe. So in summary, what is the purpose of the Sabbath? For Jesus, the Sabbath is not about abiding in the rules, but abiding with God. And the moment that we over-spiritualize it, we become legalistic too. So it's not just, okay, I must read my Bible now for 8 hours a day. I must pray, blah, blah, blah. No. You're missing it. We're to enter into life-given rhythms where we enjoy Christ and all the blessings that he's given us. It's not about being rigid. What are those rhythms that you can enjoy, where you can enjoy family and God and not just make it all about you doing? But on the other hand, if we make it all about ourselves, we're no different than the world, are we not? God invites us into this rest So as we've seen, Jesus shows us not how to position our lives for renewal. Well, he does in a way that we need to enter into a rhythm of rest. This gift of rest is more about communing with Jesus than following the rules. So lastly, Jesus shows us how to position our lives for renewal in the rhythm of intimacy. Look with me at Matthew 11:29. It says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So when we're weary, we need to learn from Christ. And he talks about this yoke, being yoked to something. The yoke refers to an oxen's yoke. You know, instead of a yoke, we often want a hammock on the beach. Or we want to win the lottery so we don't have to worry anymore. But this yoke is a wooden collar-like instrument placed on the neck and shoulders of an ox that join two together. The yoke represents a posture of submission and authority to Christ in all things. When worn in connection with the other, it lightens the load. The truth is that we're all yoked to something, whether we like it or not. Just look at our calendars, where we spend our time. We're yoked to it. Or all those anxieties and worries that keep going up in our mind over and over again. We're yoked to it. And Jesus is saying, no. Give me that and be yoked to me. I want to support you in it. I want to love you in it. One of the problems is that our belief that God will only accept me when I get my life together, then we don't go to him. And we keep laboring and trying and trying. But in all things, we keep doing and doing. We don't stop and enter into that rest where Christ wants to be yoked with you. He wants to go with you through life in such a way that he's helping you. You know, there's been points in my life that I've tried to earn the approval of others. It's bad. It's been peers. You know, it's been professors. I think it's even been other pastors at times. I remember when I first met my in-laws, I needed to impress them. And so I would say and do silly things. And honestly, it took years and years of, well, Meg, I think they like me. But honestly, years later, it was really evident that they loved me for who I was. And that I didn't need to continuously earn their love. That it was validated because I soaked in it and I understood it. Because I was part of their family. And that's exactly what God wants you to realize, is that you are simply loved because you are part of his family. That you are his son or daughter. That he receives you and accepts you exactly how you are. His love is not dependent on how you perform. Which means that you don't need to do things to gain his love. And when this truth sinks deeper down into your heart, we want to offer our best. We don't need to perform for him, but we want to give him the best because of what he's done for us. That it comes out of this inner rest, being validated by the God of the universe. This is why Jesus says his yoke is easy, his burden is light, because he invites you to take off the burdensome yoke and put on his yoke. The word easy means it's well fitted. It's what you were made for, to join with Christ. And when you put on his yoke of love, you feel a little bit lighter. Isn't that amazing? When you surrender to Jesus, he walks with us. He helps carry our burdens. Jesus does not release his disciples of burdens, but he walks with them and helps them. This is exactly what Jesus wants for all of us. He's offering us the sustaining help that helps us carry his yoke in relationship. It's not this religious obligation, but an intimate relationship where he walks moment by moment with you. So how do we intimately and regularly learn from Christ? Well, we know that intimacy is not spatial, but relational. You can be right next to a person and not really know them, or really not be connected with them, but you can be connected with someone across the country. You see this in restaurants where couples are dating, and couples who are engaging each other are enjoying each other and loving each other. Then you just look across the room and you see this. Right? They've lost their connection. When you commune with Christ, you're developing this deep trust. It's creating a daily, weekly, yearly life-giving rhythm that helps us know and trust God with our difficulties. Last year, I recognized that I needed to spend more time with God. And one of my mentors challenged me to take an entire day of solitude and go sit by the lake with just a Bible and talk to God. I'm like, are you serious? An entire day? And my type A personality was like, well, I don't have time for this. Do you know how much I have to do? He's like, no. You need to commune and rest with Jesus. And I was convicted of my sin. I put it on the calendar. I recognized that I needed a day of solitude so I could hear and discern the voice of God. And someone said, without silence and solitude, we will never be able to fully enter into intimacy with God, simply because so many other voices are contending for our attention and commitment. Basil Pennington said it really well in this illustration. He said, when you throw a stone into a pond, he said, the stone will create ripples that reach the shore all the way around, but only if the pond is still. When the pond is quiet and still, the impact of the stone can be seen over the entire surface. But when the pond is not still, when the surface of the water is already ruffled and tossed, the splash of the stone will go undetected. Where the wind has disturbed the surface, the stone can't be disturbing. Where the storm is present, there's too much commotion already going on that no one will notice a few waves more or less, as they will be lost in the frantic motion of the surface. Stillness is always the prerequisite for receptivity. David said it well. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And in my stillness, I was able to let the Spirit of God work and speak to my heart, my inner being. I started to see clear. I noticed areas in which I had to be changed and transformed. I recognized that I was relying on myself too much, that I had to deal with some of the sin that had crept in. And I was able to give God those many thoughts and deeds that became heavy and burdensome. And after resting with God, I felt lighter and more loved. So how do we receive this rest? Well, there's only one condition. We must go to Christ. The Sabbath teaches us that we do not work to please God. Rather, we rest because God is already pleased with the work that he's accomplished in us. So how do we do this? Just like any human relationship, there's things that we can do that help us grow and become more intimate with him. These life-giving rhythms, some of them include resting, as we've been talking about, reading scripture, praying, fasting, confessing our sins, worshiping, fellowshipping, celebrating, serving, being generous, and being quiet before God. These are all patterns which position yourself daily and weekly for renewal. They are reminded that you are loved. So in closing, to be a Christian, it means to repattern your entire life around Jesus. Resting with Christ is a complete repositioning, the beginning of a rhythm where our lives are centered around hope and redemption because of what he did for you. This is how you find rest. And no person has gone too far from Christ to be able to find this rest. So are you weary? Are you laboring? Are you trying to carry life's burdens on your own? The rhythm of rest starts by going to Jesus and asking for forgiveness for your sins because of what he did on the cross. It's the first beat of a brand new song, a song that gives you rest for your soul. It's a rhythm of refreshing one's body, mind, and spirit. It's a rest that fits one and all for life. It's a rest that infuses a person with true purpose, meaning, and significance. It's a rest that reminds us that we are not going through life's difficulties alone. It's a rhythm of rest that gives us encouragement and motivation for our soul. Resting positions us to regularly live a renewed life so that we can undertake the God-given task with enthusiasm, strength, and endurance. So my question to you this morning is, have you found rest? Do you have a rhythm of going to Christ? A daily rhythm? A weekly rhythm, so you can commune with him, so that you can enjoy him, so that you can know him deeply and intimately. If you want to enter into that rest today, you may need to go back to the beginning of when you first met Jesus and remember what he's done for you, that he loves you, that he wants to carry those burdens with you. And if you haven't even started that relationship, today, enter into that rest. So as we close, we're going to come to this table. And we're going to celebrate what Jesus did on the cross so that we could enter into this rhythm of rest. So let's pray. I'm going to ask all those who are serving to join me at the front.